Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a great Wednesday evening broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky, coming right off the Far Cry song Balance to kick the show off. Thanks to Pete Fry. His name will be coming up later with our guest. But it is a great night for episode number 334. And joining me tonight, fired up and ready to rock, are my two awesome regular co-hosts, the lovely, the vivacious, the wondrous Holly Phillippe, and from parts unknown in Tennessee, the man himself, Daniel Dark, who logged in right in the nick of time. So we are on the ball tonight, my friends. I'm impressed. Everyone's here.
The whole gang.
The whole gang. The dark one. Even the dark one on time. It feels like old times now. But you're in for a show, my friends. It's going to be a good one. We've got the guest we have tonight. This one's going to be fun and a little bit different than normal. But we got Beck Harrison. Metal Beck Harrison is the first in the chat room. Chat room is open. It is working. So join us tonight for questions and comments. Big shout out. I know that some of those listening got Branson and Addison listening tonight out there. Thank you for listening. Speaking of small worlds, I want to get this story, Holly, which you thought was pretty impressive. But over the weekend, Holly's grandkids were visiting, and Branson and I were listening some heavy metal, watching some YouTube videos of some heavy metal bands of groups he likes, and he played a band for me, I Prevail. Really good metal band. Definitely want to check out. But we just watching videos. He showed me the song Scars. And as we were watching, I did a double take because this soldier comes up in it. And it's a soldier that, in the video, it's about, the subject matter is pretty heavy. So the soldier is missing a leg. But I recognized him immediately. I was like, Silvio Wolf Bush, that looks exactly like him. And guess what? It was. He had not told us, but he was in a video for the popular established metal band I Prevail. And as you know, Silvio's been on the show several times. He's been to Imaginarium several times. But yes, he is actually in a really good heavy metal video that we just happened randomly to see this weekend. So that is awesome. I know Holly was pretty stoked. That was fun.
Well, you guys were like, is that Silvio? And then I come in there and I'm like, yeah, that's Silvio.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean,
Silvio Wolf Bush is going to pop up.
Yeah, and it's just, I had no idea, just watching the videos, and I was like, is that looks just like him. Well, obviously it was. So it did look like him because it was him. That was fun. And we did confirm it with him within about 10 minutes. I had to message him and find out if in fact that was true, because I was like, yeah, it's got to be. And it was. So that was fun. We got to check that out. And Branson and I were pretty blown away by that discovery. I know Holly was, and everybody else, Metalbeck was, but very cool. And then top of the show, I want to give out a shout out to a great new YouTube channel, Copa Catania, Pete Catania's YouTube channel. He is getting some views, and he's got a pop culture review channel, really good one. First video was on the new Top Gun movie, Maverick. Second one was on Rings of Power, the new Amazon series. And then tonight he's going to have an episode on the newest Predator movie, Prey. Yeah, I believe it was on Hulu, if I'm not mistaken. I know. I thought it was a really good addition to the franchise myself. But it's definitely got some stuff that I was kind of critical of in it, and I'm curious to see what Pete's take is on the whole thing. But he's got a video coming up tonight on his channel for the movie Prey. So look back at that. But his channel is really – it's taken off like a rocket. He's getting a lot of views just after a few episodes of his new show. So I wanted to definitely give him a shout out I believe Pete, yeah, you got a good thing going there. Tonight is going to be fun. And we've got just a couple of little reminders. I'll let Holly give her reminders in a second, but yeah, discounts for Imaginarium through Saturday. We've got discounted expo space, discounted film entries, discounted event tickets, and I mean, everything's on discount. Discount for you and you and you, yes, if you take advantage of it.
Everybody
gets a discount. And then also, of course, the guest applications are open. Imagine Awards nominations are open, so don't miss those things. Imagine Awards, note that we have three new categories. We have one for song lyrics, one for graphic novels and comics, and also one for game modules and game rule books. So we are becoming, in my view, probably one of the most comprehensive awards presentations when it comes to writing, because not only do we have a full array of fiction and nonfiction categories, but we also have awards that, you know, take in the film world, the game world, music even with song lyrics. And, it's just really cool how all that's kind of coming together now. And, of course, graphic novels and comic books, too. So, yeah, just a really nice comprehensive award series now. And so be aware of that with that part of things. And then last but not least, awards banquet tickets are available. If you want dinner, get them. They will sell out. A lot of people have already gotten theirs. They're selling already pretty steadily. You want to try to get that earlier than later, because they will sell out. And this year, I'm sure they'll sell out earlier than even last year. So that gives you my updates. Holly, what do you got as far as things go?
Well, guest applications, get them in, people, because it's getting trickier and trickier. I've had to start, earlier than I ever have had to start on things. Already got emails going out. I've already accepted several guests. We'll be coming out with announcements soon on that. Watch out for bigger announcements, with spotlighted guests and Imaginators and guest of honor announcements.
Yep.
And all that will be forthcoming. But definitely, like Steve says, get your banquet tickets. If you intend on being at the banquet, get them now. If we run out, we run out. Don't be mad at me. It's not my fault. We can only feed so many. They will only let me have so much space. I'm utilizing everything else. I've tried to crunch numbers. I tried to, figure out going bigger room-wise and everything. But, where it's at, I'm only going to have that limited number. So you're not going to be able to buy them at the event like we used to, or a week out from the event. Now you're going to have to get them well ahead of time. If you have a really cool, new, fresh workshop idea, please get it into me. Those are going to be filling up quick. Panel ideas, hit me up because I'm already working on programming. I've already accepted a few workshops that are going to be just stellar. Fresh new faces, really cool subject matter, very interesting. Very educating. People are going to really eat it up. Get them into me, peeps. I'm all ears. Suggestions,
now is the
marketing.
Time.
Yeah.
Now
and
is
we
the
are
time.
Accepting sponsors. Sponsors are open. So if you would like to sponsor your publishing company, your business, your brand, as an author, as an editor, as a artist, you know, get it in. We have all levels. Just go to entertheimaginarium.com and go to sponsorship levels. There's perks with every level. Bigger levels, bigger perks. We even have patrons for $50 that, you know, are mentioned and will be put on the website. So, yeah, think about that. It's a great way to reach a target audience, put it that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do encourage that also.
Yes. Yeah, that helps a lot, folks. It may not sound like it does, but when you're you know, you built something from the grassroots, all that stuff helps immensely with getting good things done, new things added for the convention. We do make use of every bit of resource that we can to build this thing. So, yeah, that helps a lot. But I want to get over to Daniel before we do our sponsors and those who have brought you the show tonight. Daniel, well, I just saw your photos. So it looks like you had a little automobile fun in the previous day, but I'm guessing you're okay. I hope you are, at least. You've had adventures. What's been going on with you, sir?
That was my wife's car.
Oh, man.
She got about a mile from the house, and a guy pulled across in front of her.
Oh, no.
And, you know, in a four-wheel drive big pickup truck.
Oh, boy.
And she hit him broadside.
Oh, and, she's okay, though?
She's doing okay.
Okay. Well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
My day started with my health issues again, and then I went and got over that pretty much and went down and helped my mom do some things. Took her to dinner last night. As soon as we got in there and put our name in and everything, got a message from my wife saying, you know, do you have the insurance, you know, information? I said, why? She goes, because I just totaled the car.
Oh, gosh.
And I was there and I asked her if she was okay and everything. She was shook up and everything, you know, but the paramedics and everything checked her out and all that stuff. And they, you know, state trooper actually brought her home from it. And got my mom back to her apartment or to the building. She went to get out of the car at 93 years of age. And all of a sudden, as soon as she went to, you know, get out, she went into vertigo.
Oh, man.
And real bad case of vertigo, and had to call an ambulance and take her to the hospital.
Oh, God.
And I was there until in between 3 and 4, you know, just.
God, that was a rough day. So sorry to hear that, man.
So yeah, I had a amazingly fun day yesterday. Yeah.
Well,
sounds like it. Great time.
We will try to bring you some cheer.
Is your mom okay now? Is your mama okay?
Mama's okay. She's back in the apartment and everything, and
okay.
Got her medicine and everything today, and she's been taking that. I'll have to take her back to the doctor and everything first part of the week and have her, you know, reevaluated and stuff, you know, make sure everything's okay.
Right.
Put a bit of drop pressure, too. Cool. A lot of times, you know, especially with the elderly, they get up a little too fast. Their blood pressure will bottom out, and then there you go. Then that will, you know, start that vertigo and make it feel like you're going to pass out, or you do pass out.
Started throwing up and all that stuff. And
Yeah, because you're spinning.
Yeah.
It's awful. I know. I've got it.
I've had a bout. I know what it's like. Yeah. That's a weird feeling to get, too.
I used to get vertigo all the time and everything.
Yeah.
I haven't had it in a while. But, you know,
right.
Thankfully.
Well,
but,
yeah, it's an awful feeling.
Yeah. And you know, but she's got her medicine and stuff like that. So they finally let her go, leave the hospital about 2 something in the morning. Got her back to her apartment and everything, got her, you know, set up at, you know, around 3. Left her apartment, got home about 4.
Good grief.
And then I had, you know, business calls and Zooms and everything, you know, starting at 9 o'clock this morning, so.
Oh, man.
Man. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Well, we're going to bring you some cheer tonight. Well,
yeah,
we're going to bring you some cheer, Daniel.
You know, bring in the cheer.
We've got a guest that's going to bring you some major cheer. And, we're running just a hair behind here. I'm going to go ahead. I want to get you the folks that have kindly brought you tonight's show. And then our guest just called in and is on deck. So we're going to go over and take care of our folks that brought you tonight's show. And it's the awesome duo of Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and Per Bostet Publications. So here's a little spot from Sandy. Then we'll tell you a little bit about Per Bostet. And then we'll give you a trifecta by bringing you a very awesome guest making a first appearance tonight on the Star Chamber Show. So here's a bit about Sandy.
The latest release from author Sandy Lender is book 3 of the Fairy Holiday series titled I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer. It's a standalone story in the series, but it's got all the fun, humor, horror, and sweet paranormal romance you'd expect of a Lender Blender vampire satire. Come on down to the Naples Hideaway and Marina for a fun and romancy vacay. But watch out for the Grendwolves and the random femme fatale who thinks she's competing for your vampire's attention. Pick up I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer by Sandy Lender today.
Thank you, Sandy. You are awesome. Appreciate it. Can't go wrong with her stuff. Pick up some of her books. Tell her that you heard about her on the Star Chamber show. Show her some appreciation. Great supporter of the show. Also a great supporter is Per Bostet Publications. And Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks. Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as Prime Crime in Indianapolis this October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you to Teely Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen, the triumvirate of the literary world. You all are the best. And so now, drum roll, because this is the first time that we're bringing tonight's guest on. Yes, yes. Tonight's guest is a very multi-talented, very multifaceted artist. And tonight's artist works with a number of different mediums. So lots of different materials, original and rustic artworks using wood, antlers, skulls, claws, teeth, feathers, fur, and epoxy. And the newest experiments of tonight's guest of epoxy on canvas paintings are getting a lot of attention and love. And so coming on board tonight with you for the very first time, and definitely not for the last time, the one, the only, the double G, Graham Ganson. Welcome to the Star Chamber Show. Your
awesome
mic is now on.
Thank you.
Well,
hey,
we specialize in that. Yes, we do. And you got a blast, and you got a Pete Fry song. It's our weekly show intro. Just happens to be from Pete Fry, with Far Cry and Balance. So there's the connection there.
I wouldn't have it the other way. I got to have a jam.
Yeah. Too cool. It's too awesome. So it's fitting. Holly is ecstatic, and Daniel soon will be as he gets to know you. So, yeah, we have
excellent.
The privilege of knowing you already. So, Holly, you're about to burst over there. So.
Well,
I just got assaulted before this call.
I know. It's so good.
I got assaulted by a cat.
Well, Well, hey, you know, I've got two cats locked up in here with me, so I hope I don't get assaulted, but, you know, we'll see.
I have this place where I sit, and every night he'll come and put his paws through the curtain and attack me. One night I fell asleep on the couch, and he woke me up. I had a video game controller in my hand, and he smacked it, woke me up right out of a deep sleep. I'm like, you little jerk.
Oh, I know
well,
about getting woken up. Ours leap on us in the middle of the night. So, yeah, we know about
that.
Yeah, and Prince Albert, he likes to bite your elbows. So if you don't keep your elbows covered up about, 5, 6 in the morning, here he comes, and he's going to start gnawing on your elbows till you get up and let him out of the the bedroom here.
Yep.
Cause we keep them
with
locked
the
up at
call.
Night because they're rambunctious and you don't know what they're going to get into. So
yeah, they need a little routine. Little routine.
Yeah.
But they're
great
cats.
It is great to finally get to talk to you.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes,
Graham.
Absolutely.
It's great. We've been friends for years and on Facebook. And, we've never got to talk. And I'm so glad you got to come on the show and talk about your art and music and all kinds of good stuff. It's going to be a fun show. And, Daniel, you're going to love Mr. Graham. He's right up your alley. You'd love his artwork. I'll definitely have to send Daniel your links and stuff.
Definitely.
And, yeah, so he could check you out because he will love it.
Well,
Daniel
Graham
is,
and
go ahead.
I was going to say, Graham and I actually go back even a few more years because we used to be on a site called Mama's Fallen Angels, which was a hard rock, melodic hard rock fan site, kind of like a small social media platform back in the day. And that's where I first met Pete Fry, met Graham, met the Metal Queen, Donna Smith. I mean, we had tons of people that I still keep in touch with to this day.
I got a ton of them on my friends list. Ton of them.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Graham and I actually go back a ways. So, this is extra fun. Hope Pete Fry gets to hear this show. I'm definitely going to tell him about this. But
I'm surprised they're still friends with me as much as I annoyed them all.
Right. But Holly, you were saying about Daniel. Sorry, I did cut you off there.
Oh, I told Graham that he would love Daniel because Daniel's, over 200 years old. He's, he harnesses Jack the Ripper's soul inside his little black heart. So, yes, that's Daniel in a nutshell.
Nice.
Yep.
I saw his hat. I like his hat.
Yep.
Yes, he dresses
wears
like
it
that
daily.
Every day. Every day of his life.
Yep. That's his standard attire.
Nice.
But
I like it.
Yeah, I've got two different outfits in my closet. I've got black shirts, black pants, black vests, black coats, so everything matches when I get up in the morning. And then I've got my birthday suit in there, so, whatever people want to see me in is what I'll come out in. So.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'd like to see a Mr. Rogers-style episode with Daniel so he can open up the closet and it'll be just nothing but
that would be
black shirts.
Awesome.
Oh, that'd be too good. But your artwork is awesome. I just want to say that right from the outset.
Oh,
and we do have some artists listening tonight. I see Diana Vizorek in the chat room. She's a really talented artist from Cottagecore Creations. So I know we have some artists listening tonight, and they're probably excited that we're featuring an artist.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, and Becca Harrison is an artist. Yeah, she's in the chat room. And, she's gotten back to painting canvas again. So we are excited to have you because, like I said, we try to feature a range of creatives, but it's been a little while since we've gotten to visit with an artist. And you just got a brand new site on. You're just launching commissions, and you have such a broad range of art. I mean, I've seen your sketch work, and it's just awesome. But you make a whole bunch of different things. So I describe yourself and your style because I want to hear all about you tonight.
Absolutely.
On your art.
Yeah, basically, I've been drawing since I was a teenager. I can't say I was born to draw. I was kind of more of a person that I like to shelter myself in my room when I was a teenager, just shut off the world and draw. I tried to draw my own comic book. I actually drew a whole comic book up at one point. Colored it and everything. It was called Xanathar. the shadow dimension. It was almost kind of like similar to Stranger Things, the kind of way the creatures come over to our world. It was kind of a dimensional thing like that. Older I got, I kind of gave up on drawing and went to painting a little bit, and I was like, just didn't have time for it. And I'm the typical artist where I'm like, some days I'm like, I'll do something and like, this kind of sucks. I hate what I just did. This is terrible. I'm awful. You know, I'd beat myself up over it. And then I got a job at a wildlife business. We have a gift shop where I make a bunch of stuff for that gift shop, which is actually where I learned how to craft. And I never crafted within the last, like 3 years ago, I never crafted before in my life. And I just started crafting with antler and stuff, and I started to get better and better at it each day. So a lot of my skills have really improved that I had, you know, the fact that I didn't give up on it and just keep on doing it. So I appreciate that.
What?
Trying to keep it going.
Absolutely.
What do you do with the antlers?
I'm sorry?
What do you do with the antlers?
All kinds of stuff. I can use them in wood. I make a lot of like jewelry displays where you can put rings and necklaces on. I can make little bowls. I make statues. I make a lot of antler mushrooms. Those are really popular.
Yeah.
And those are pretty simple. You take a antler tip and then you kind of carve it down, make it look like a mushroom, and you can sometimes I'll go in a little bit more depth and I'll make a morel mushroom, which, you know, has a little bit more intricate design in the mushroom part above. Some like actual holes in them. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Inkwells.
The use of antlers is just endless. There's so many uses for it.
I was just wondering, have you ever done an inkwell?
An inkwell? No, I have not messed with that yet.
He could do it.
Uh-huh.
I know he could.
A new horizon.
Yeah, he
could.
A new horizon.
Yeah. I've seen some really neat stuff that you've done.
Well, I already know he's going to make money off tonight's show, Holly, because Diana's in the chat room and her favorite thing in the world is mushrooms. And she just said She just said, I need an antler mushroom, please. Yep, you already made a sale tonight. So you can say that that the Star Chamber show definitely brings you new business now.
I definitely have some of those on hand.
I was going to say that's my daughter, and she's like so easy to buy for because anything with a mushroom, she's all over it. You know.
Same with my wife.
She loves
mushrooms. And my paintings, when I do my paintings, she doesn't even want me to sell them. She's like, I want to keep that. I love that. Like, I can't keep it all. We can't keep everything I make.
I love your use of the your mixed mediums, because I'm looking at this one now that you did the other day that you put it up there, and I was like, man, that is so cool, and Diana's going to love this. But you did make a painting, an oil painting or watercolor, I'm not sure, and then you used like either epoxy or some kind of sculpting.
Yeah,
but you have
epoxy.
Like the mushrooms, and they're blue, with the red dots, and you've got like some greenery, and then the little slug on there. It is so cool.
I've been having a lot of fun with that. That epoxy is something that I had from my job that it was basically you use to fix antlers, like a broken antler. You can kind of restore it with that stuff. And I thought, why not use this for something else? And I started messing around with it for canvases. I've also made like antler mushrooms and then the epoxy like made a platform with the mushroom sticking out, almost like a rock face with it. It's just so many possibilities with the stuff, and it dries up really nice, like a rock. I mean, it's really durable, and that's why I like it. It's not like clay where you have to, you know, the air drying clay where it breaks really easy. It's really durable stuff, and I really like it. But yeah, the epoxy paintings are really fun.
They look fun.
Do you do any commission work?
Yeah. In fact, that's probably what I'll be doing with these. And I'm a very humble guy, and I don't charge thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm not that vain, you know. For me, it's all about making a little bit of money on it, and then, of course, finding people that enjoy it, you know, having something they can decorate their house in and look at it every day and say, hey, that's cool. I'm glad I got that, you know.
For yeah, me, your new site looks really good. And like I told some people today that I was messaging about you being on the show, I told them, I was like, this is just brand new. I mean, he just started to put stuff up on that site. But while people are listening, I do encourage you to browse and go ahead. Usually we ask this at the end of the show, but I'm going to ask you at the beginning of the show so people can kind of get a look at your range of art, because it is hard to describe everything you do because you do so many different things.
Yeah.
Give folks the website address real quick so that as they listen, maybe they can browse and check out some of those images.
Okay. It's https://mediandora, and I'll spell that out, mediandora.wixsite.com. So it's a Mediandora, which is actually Medea and Pandora combined. That's where that name came from, Mediandora. So I'm really huge into ancient Greek stuff, and hey, that's a cool name. I just combined them. So that's where I got that. That's what I came up with my little business name. But right now everything's kind of, I don't have prices on stuff. So anybody that's interested in stuff or wants to commission something designed, just shoot me an email and I'll work with you. Let me know how much you want to spend on it or whatever, and I'll work with you. No worries. I'm really humble and easygoing.
Well, who knows? You might get a bunch of Tyler Perry fans thinking that you're doing a tribute to Medea, you know, the lovable.
You never know.
The movie.
Yeah, it's the wrong Medea.
but it is a range. I mean, like I said, you know, you work with so many different things. What is your favorite, I guess, just to get at it, what is your favorite things to work on art-wise of all those different pieces you have?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, really, the epoxy paintings are quite a blast. Because I did I don't know if I have it up, but I also have a Facebook page if people want to just look at it too, they can. It's under my name, Graham Ganson. But I have a alien one I did, like a xenomorph one, and it turned out pretty darn cool. I'm going to recolor and do some more background because there's some things I want to change on it, but it came out pretty darn cool. The 3D stuff is something I've never done before, and I'm just having a lot of fun with it. The antler stuff's fun,
yeah,
but it's messy. I mean, I have to wear a face mask because bone dust, and you really don't want to breathe in. It's not good for you, but it's fun work too. It's just a little bit more on the harder side of things than sitting in a nice cool room. I got to go outside and in my shop, especially in the summer, it gets hot out there.
Yeah.
And make these things.
Yeah. He has to go out in the early morning and hunt deer and get antlers.
luckily I get as much of that stuff as I need. The guy I work with, he buys antlers constantly. So
I figured
all
yeah,
kinds of
but
moose and elk, all kinds of cool,
oh,
cool antler pieces.
A moose antler,
so
little
yeah,
palmated, those deer, palmated antlers. That'd be a massive project.
I've carved on some moose antlers too. A lot of people do. They'll
wow,
carve intricate designs in them.
Well, down here
that's
in Kentucky, we've got elk. Elk have made a explosive growth here in Kentucky because there's no real natural predators.
Oh.
So we've got lots and lots of elk. So I'm sure somebody has some extra elk antlers. We'll try to
yeah,
see if we can get some for you. But those are pretty
cool,
impressive. Yeah, those are impressive. But yeah, that's just sounds so cool. The epoxy paintings that do you paint on the canvas first and then I'm kind of a newbie to the idea of epoxy painting. So how does the process go?
Yeah. So it's two compounds. You mix them together equally and then you get the dough or whatever. And then you press it onto the canvas. And what I do is I use a tool and make sure it squishes on there really good. You know, it's hard to describe, but like along the sides, the bottom, I'll press in and then smooth it out. I have to use a lot of go back and forth between water and then making designs in the epoxy. Water really will help it stay fresh, you know, so it doesn't dry out right away. And also when there's a little bit of water in it, you can make some designs in it really easy instead of when it dries out, it's a lot tougher to try to get those designs in there. So you kind of have to work semi-fast, but not overly fast. And once you get all the designs in, you press it into the canvas, you can shape it. I'll shape it before I put it on there and then squish it down a little bit. Let it dry. And it once it dries, it is on there. I mean, it is stuck on there.
Nice.
And then you could just get some acrylic paints and just paint it up.
And that seems like it's so much better because, well, you have more control for one thing over it than what you would do in like ceramic clay and stuff. And then you have that whole other thing, kiln firing, and then you have to cut the edges off, you know, and there's a lot to it, you know. So this here, it seems like you can actually create more because, well, it's, you're sculpting. You actually do the sculpting and bend it to your will and, you know, and don't have to worry about a kiln and all that stuff.
Nope, not at all. And you can put, like, jewelry in there. You could put gemstones and right around the epoxy, and they'll stay right in there, and you could make some really cool frames out of it. I mean, just all kinds of neat stuff. The possibilities are endless with the epoxy.
That's crazy. And then you also take, I've seen like toys. You've got like this one, it was like a dinosaur or something, and you sculpted around it. It made
I almost forgot about that. Yeah, I bought a cheap dollar dinosaur when I was at the coast, the Oregon coast, little plastic dinosaur. I think it was a stegosaurus. It even had a couple broken deals on the back, and I decided to make it into a xenomorph version of a stegosaurus. So I added all this epoxy, and it looks cool in picture, but man, in person, it really is amazing. I like look at the thing like this. A lot of people would love, especially there's a lot of xenomorph fans, predator alien fans. I think they would love this thing. It is really cool.
Yeah. You've got a couple good angles of it. Yeah. It's badass. I think Steve would really like that. I'll have to send him that.
Yeah, I mean, people can use this stuff to fix action figures, too. I mean, I'm a big action figure guy. I admit it. My wife's like, you got enough of those? I'm like, no, I never have enough. So I love McFarlane figures. I love NECA. And sometimes if I got a broken figure, I'll use my epoxy and make my own version of that figure. I'll spruce them up, that's just a lot of fun.
Well, you'll be proud of me, Graham, because I have an awesome collection of Lord of the Rings action figures from the first Peter Jackson films. And,
love it.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch, and as Holly would say, too many. I have to get them boxed, I think, at some point to make more shelf space for vinyl, but I have a lot.
It's terrible, especially when they come out with new ones. It's like, I don't have that one. I got to have that one. That one's really cool. And then it just doesn't stop. Like NECA released a Gargoyle series, and I love Gargoyles, the Disney Gargoyles. And it's like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just getting more expensive. They're like $50 a pop now. I'm like, oh, man, this is killing me.
Yeah, you have a passion for creatures, which I share. Because I've got like a billion different kinds of creatures in my written work, and so that's one thing I noticed. Like, because I've just got done writing a Hellscapes novel that's just loaded with bizarre, weird, just misshapen kind of creatures, and then I was looking at some of your critter designs, and you've got some pretty far out stuff there that would fit well in the Hellscapes universe.
I have thousands upon thousands of drawings in this box I have over here from when I was a teenager to later on of all kinds of creature concepts that I made. I got a lot of stuff in there, some really cool stuff. But yeah, man, I always loved monsters when I was a kid. I thought creatures were cool. Just I liked things that I never saw before. I wanted to see something that I'd never seen. previously, you know.
Have you ever thought, like one of my favorite artists, Wayne Barlow, who also is an author, he wrote the books God's Demon, and it's a really amazing book. And it's but he did like concept work for the movie Avatar, and also has worked with other top, you know, Hollywood folks, because he had such an amazing kind of handle on original creature design. Is that something that you would be interested in, is actually doing concept design?
I don't know
for,
if I could say
hell
on here, but hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
That was actually my dream,
I guess,
of becoming a concept artist.
Oh, wow.
So I was thinking that your creatures would be a great concept approach for a lot of filmmakers out there. I mean,
yeah,
you got some really neat looking stuff.
Killer. Thank you.
Yeah, because I...
Actually,
Holly, I know Holly agrees. Yeah, can we talk about it and we see your artwork?
I'm actually doing something cool too. Someday it'll get done. I don't know when, but years ago I did some shares for Legion M. It's a newer film company that started, and I started talking to somebody from there that works in the film a little bit, and we're working on a script together a little bit. It's about Nazca. And what I was going to do is throw in some paranormal, some Anunnaki artifacts that these people find in Peru. And that's where all this weird technology and creatures start showing up. So that's something I'm working on. I'm writing it, but I'm a terrible writer. I love the art part, but when I come to writing, my brain just okay, where do I go now? Writer,
well, you are speaking. You're speaking my language.
There's storytellers, and then there's writers, and that a good storyteller, you know, that's where a good editor comes in, or you collab with somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah. But as far as the Anunnaki lore, Nephilim lore, especially with artifacts and so forth, and what the Smithsonian has whisked away and kept hidden from the eyes of people, yes, there's a lot of good stuff and a lot of deep dives you can take with that. And I would love to see, you know, what you're exploring with the South American side of things, because there's some pretty eerie and wild stuff down there artifact-wise. And to this day, you can still get skulls that are not human, and in the caves down there, and I mean they're clearly not human. I mean,
and they're finding
these
conehead, you know, the round, elongated skulls all over the continent, not just Peru now.
Yep.
I love all this ancient stuff. It's just, it's a world we don't know about, and it's just like forgotten history, and it's intriguing to every sense. It's what happened back then?
I drop Nephilim
lore
all the time. And if I can recommend to you an author that is great, he approaches it sometimes from a faith perspective as well, but his research is immense, and he digs deep into lots of old newspaper reports and myths, and he does field stuff, and as far as archaeological field trips and things
awesome.
But it's Stephen Quayle. Stephen Quayle, and he's been a guest on Coast to Coast AM, but I've got several of his books, and if you like that area, man, you would love his books. I mean, because they are deep dives, and they are backed with tons of of references and things like that.
I believe he was on my buddy's paranormal radio show too, because he
interviews
all kinds of authors and everything.
But in my reference library of Nephilim lore that I draw off of pretty heavy for my own books, I mean, Steve Quayle, it's a big one. So good writer too. I mean, the books are really easy to read as far as they flow well, even though they're nonfiction. So, but definitely recommend that. But that's cool. I definitely want to see what you come up with there.
I'm trying to put a lot of research into it and get things, you know, trying to be respectful to the Peruvians, you know, not, it's easy to offend people nowadays. You see it all the time, and it's just stuff I try to avoid and learn their culture and, you know, what they don't want out there and what they do, you know.
Yeah.
Have you been to respectful. Peru? I've seen that. You've been all over the world, and are you originally from Italy?
Oh, no, not at all. I have another account on Facebook.
Well, that's a new one, but yeah, that you've did a lot of like check-ins and you've traveled around and well, we've been Facebook buddies for too long.
I have been a little places, but not, unfortunately, not a lot of places I want to go. I would love to go to Europe and UK and all that.
Yep. I've been there. That's an amazing experience. But probably the truth is, Holly, Graham's a vampire that goes back to ancient Rome or something. That's probably where
you
got
go.
The Italian connection. That's probably where
that's why we have a lot in common. That's what it
you
is.
Know what's really sad? I did a DNA test, one of those deals years back, and I thought, oh, I'd have stuff everywhere. I got like 100% Eastern European. I'm like, this is it. This is my DNA result. My ancestors did nothing. What did they do? They did
nothing. Like, nothing wrong with that. There's some lore I have dug into for some of my work, and there's great stuff in Eastern Europe. Yeah. Great place to mine myths and folklore and stuff from. Yeah,
oh,
absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, my mother's side was Slovakian, so there's a lot of – that's right between Italy and Germany, something like that. I can't remember.
Should be.
I know
it'd be right there
between,
near Germany, yeah.
Between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff around there, a lot of ancient stuff.
Plus, it's not too expensive to travel in that particular region. Yeah, you can get some really good deals on food and hotels and stuff there, so.
Yeah,
definitely. Now's the time to visit if you can. But, well, if you want to make a film, if it's a few years back, you could rent castles for as low as $100 USD per day. So, yeah, it's a good place to do film work too. But, oh man, so what are your influences? Because I know that's the question that always comes up with artists and authors and all of us. But it is an important one. And who are your influences from the artistic side?
From the artistic side, I have quite a few. I mean, I have a lot of humor. That's a totally different side of me, though. That's not the artistic side. That's my humor comes from Rick Mayall, you know, the god of England, the comedy god of England. I love that guy.
Oh, yes.
It sucked when he passed away. I just like, that was my idol. That's the guy I'm modeled after, humor-wise. People that understand that guy, then they'll understand me for sure. That guy's just insanely funny. But art-wise, I grew up with Valiant Comics. And, you know, of course, things before that, like Swamp Thing and Conan, all that stuff just was my kind of deal. I love Conan, Swamp Thing. There's a Valiant Comics kind of rebrought all the old Golden Key comics back to life. Well, at least a good portion of them, like Turok, you know, the Son of Stone, and Magnus, the robot fighter. They had some others, Solar, the Man of the Atom. I loved all that. All those books inspired me a lot for my art growing up. And then they had another character called Exo Manowar, which was created by, I believe, Bob Layton, which created the second version of Iron Man, the one you kind of see today. I mean, there was the first version that was just the clunky plain suit that's the old bucket head guy, and then they the refined one was the one he did. And then he also created Exo Manowar, which instead of going to Marvel, it was created by Valiant Comics, and it never got the spotlight that Iron Man got. But, oh, man, I love that comic book because the guy was like a Viking, and then he gets abducted by these spider aliens, and he finds this organic, like, alien suit, like this armor, kind of shapes to his thoughts. You know, does that the armor? It's almost like a xenomorph when it takes over something. It kind of takes on the characteristics. That's how this armor is. And I love the storyline. It was just such an inventive story. I still have a ton of those. They even brought it back a few years back in 2010 because the company went down they Acclaim bought them, and Acclaim went out of business, and then somebody, they brought back Valiant in 2010, and they're still around. They came out with the Bloodsport movie, so I'm hoping they keep up and their business, you know, the Valiant Comics survives, because they were some of the best reads out of anything I ever read. Like, I had a friend, we'd go to the comic shop and spend all the money we had on Image Comics and Valiant Comics, and I ended up trading all my good Spawn comics back to the comic store. They're all worth money now, which sucks. I lost money. But
oh no!
I have a bunch of my Valiant comic books, and they're worth 10 times more because the stories are just way better.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. So you have
a
lot of roots
about
in the
doing
comic. Yeah.
Graham,
do you ever
think about doing a comic?
To do a comic?
Yeah,
or graphic novel.
I mean, you could do a graphic novel or a comic book, either one.
I have. It's just they're so time consuming, and there's so much to them. The illustration to the inking to the coloring. I remember when I first tried to do it, I did it all, and it's like it's overwhelming trying to do all that, the captions and oh man. But yeah, it's fun. But it's a lot. Yeah.
Right.
So I've kind of gone to the crafting, and definitely I love doing like covers. I used to enter a lot of art contests. There used to be a place called, I forgot the name of it now. It was Digital something, and this guy was like friends with Kevin Smith, and I won a couple of, like a few art contests on there. I won like a History Channel bunch of books, and it was pretty fun. I used to love going on that site and entering those contests.
That is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you have a favorite part of like painting and creating? I mean, with all the different stages, do you actually have a favorite part that you enjoy the most where it's like, this isn't work at all?
Yeah, actually, usually when I'm really motivated and have the idea in my head where it's just, I'm ready to do this. I'm determined to get this done. And usually that's when my stuff comes out really good. When I can focus on something and not have doubts, whenever I have doubts is when my stuff will suffer. And that's for any artist. I mean, you can't have doubts. You got to have fun with it. It's really not about always making money. It's for me, it's more about the fun of doing it. And then having somebody that likes the art, you know, that's the two things. And for me, it's just mainly the fun of it. I enjoy doing it.
Well, you mentioned doing some covers in some contests, and I wanted to alert the authors out there, because I had asked Holly about this earlier, and she had told me that she'd run it by you, but you're actually open to doing some artwork for book covers. So that is part of your new site. So I think we should get that out there for sure. I mentioned that in some of our promos on author sites today. You're ready to rock with your talent for writers too. And,
yeah. Thank you. I appreciate
sure people
that.
Know
and I like the fact that, you know, I'm not perfect. Every year I get better and better. It's just a lot of artists do. They just constantly improve. And I'm very happy with the way my art direction has gone, because the improvements that I've done are very, you know, like way back in the day, I'd draw a hand or a foot and it would just be like, oh man, that looks ridiculous. So the foot's like 2 feet long and those legs like a foot. It's unproportionate. And now it's like, I have my proportions really good. I have my color coordination's very, very good. And do some pretty decent stuff. And then I take, you know, if I draw it, sometimes I'll color it with markers and then might just leave it alone, or I'll step and take it onto the computer and spruce it up even more with some digital design. A total mixture of stuff sometimes.
Oh, that's cool.
And a lot of people do that. Because sometimes, you know, you do a painting and you take a photo of it or you scan it, it just doesn't turn out like you would want it to see it when you look at a picture. It's like, well, you can see all the canvas lines, and you know, that's when you take it on the computer and you can spruce it up a little bit.
Very nice. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, Holly, mm-hmm. We need to get the word out. Definitely.
Definitely.
Much as we can. Yeah, because, yeah, it's authors need some good cover work these days, and especially when it's like original illustrations. And with the kind of creature design ability you have, I mean, I'm sure it'd be spectacular. So I think, authors would be wise to check in with you.
You know, but I used to have a really tough time as a teen. When I used to draw monsters, okay, and I listen to heavy metal. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's not about darkness or Satan or any of that. You know, it's for me, it's adrenaline. I just love guitars. I love heavy singing. It just puts me in a creative mindset, and I love it. But as a teenager, I remember going to a friend's house, and it was a rich kid. I just, at the time, they had a $500,000 house. I mean, that's an average price of a house now, but back then it was like, oh, these people are pretty darn rich. And so the father, I was friends with this guy, and his father saw a drawing of mine, and like he pulled the satanic card. Oh my God. I don't want you being friends with him anymore. This stuff's satanic. And it literally, the father came to my parents' house and was like, I don't want your son being friends with my kid anymore because he's drawing satanic stuff. Like I have nothing to do with satanic stuff. And that's something, you know, I see like a Stranger Things, Eddie Munson. I totally, totally get that guy. Just totally. Yes. That was my childhood. Totally.
My spirit animal.
I still get every once in a while now. I still hear something like that. You know, it's like, oh, that looks satanic. It's like, no, you really don't know what satanic is. Go investigate further and see what it really is about. Because I'm none of that. I don't have anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that.
I am glad that we have the same spirit animal because Eddie Munson is one of my favorites of all time. Because I can relate to him as well. I had a I dealt with a little bit of that back in the day as far as, you know, people asking me about, you know, being satanic and stuff like that. I know what you're talking about. And Eddie is such an amazing character.
I love that guy.
Yeah, Diana from Cottage Core Creations makes a great crocheted Eddie Munson doll, which everybody needs to buy one from her.
Nice.
Holly brought me back a prototype that is on my desk now. That every day it's on my desk in the office. So yeah, Eddie's always with me now. He is
I'll have to make you guys something for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and I'll have to send you guys.
No.
Definitely.
I hope our show brings you some commissions for sure. Because I know we're both metalheads. I listen to metal when I write as well for the same reason that you mentioned. It just pops you in it kind of gives a creative kind of vibe and atmosphere. And it really, for me, it works great. Always has. So, I do share your love of metal music as well. So
awesome.
Yeah, we've got.
I hit the jackpot too. I hit the jackpot because my wife loves it too, and I had the relationships I had before that. They hated heavy metal. They hated it. They were like, turn that crap off. It's like, oh man, this is an awful relationship. So I'm happy those relationships are out of the picture, and I have somebody that loves it.
Yeah, I'm lucky too.
Steve,
I've got Holly. Holly loved it too. The only area where Holly and I differ is I go a little heavier than she likes, where I'll go into some of the screamo and death metal and some of that far into it.
I call it devil music. I'm like, no.
Yeah, she'll,
I found
I
one
go
called
a little,
Orbit
I go
Culture.
A heavier.
But
when
one
it comes to
Orbit
Culture,
like, oh, man. She would love them.
They love it.
Yeah, when it comes to Metallica and things like that, yeah, Holly's totally on board and even played Metallica for her son Noah when he was in her womb. She put like the headphones up to them, and it turned out that Metallica is his favorite band today. So I think it worked. but it's
nice. I don't think she would like Orbit Culture. It's basically Hetfield on the death metal version of Metallica.
Holly usually cringes on some of the things that come in, like when I got the new Behemoth CD. She's like, "Oh no!"
Well, Meg, those guys have some of the coolest, interesting videos, though. It's like, whoa.
Oh, yes, they do. It's some intense stuff.
They put some major production in those videos.
When I'm working on Hellscape stuff, they're one of the bands that I do put on because it gives a real kind of dark edged atmosphere and perfect for that kind of book.
Yeah.
it's amazing how, music, you draw off of it. If you're a writer like me or an artist like you, I mean, metal music definitely is, it fuels the fire.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you listen to a lot of metal then when you're creating? Grams, do you have like playlists?
I do. I have a bunch. I go on Amazon constantly, and whenever a new CD comes out, I'll check it out, and I'll buy a few MP3s here and there. I'll buy way too much. I don't have any more room for it on my phone. I used to love CDs. I still do. It's just digital age. It's just so much more convenient for me now. I just download it all, buy it and download it on my phone, and it's there. And then I make a playlist on the phone and just set the – I bought a Ryobi portable speaker, and I just hook up the Bluetooth to that and jam and create some art.
Yeah.
And that's the way
that's
I love
awesome.
To do it.
That's the way to roll. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Steve, go digital. Steve still likes CDs and vinyl and, all this stuff. I'm like, go digital.
Love it.
It's
love
so
vinyl.
Much easier.
Yeah. Just
I love them
my
both,
vinyl.
But I just don't have the room for the older stuff. It's like I have so much stuff. I just don't have any room for extras.
Mm-hmm.
Like my toys, I have to find room for that stuff.
Right.
Toys and crystals are my.
There has never been a better time for buying vinyl. The quality of the vinyl releases today are the best that there have ever been. I mean, in terms
really?
Of. Good heavyweight vinyl, the sound, I mean, the look of them, I mean, they just make beautiful, colored vinyl that just sounds amazing, the remastered store vinyl. I mean, I play the original, I have original pressings of a lot of stuff, and you play it side by side with these remastered reissues that they're coming out with now, and it's, man, the improvement is, I mean, it's just amazing. I
do miss the old days.
Popping on some Black Sabbath or Iron Maiden,
awesome.
Brand new vinyl releases that are coming out now, and they're just amazing. I mean, gives it a new life. It's just great.
Yeah.
So,
I do miss the old days of going into a Tower Records and finding this rare CD that I never knew existed. I'm like, I remember so many times as a teen, I used to listen to a band called Surath Ungol all the time, and
yes.
I went in once and I found a CD I didn't even know they had. I'm like, I was just so ecstatic.
Yeah.
And you just don't get that from digital stuff. But then it was like, oh, man, it was something else.
Good Lord of the Rings reference, too. Yeah, Surath Ungol.
Yeah.
But you probably, if bands are listening, you probably make incredible cover art for like an album, like album cover. I mean,
I almost did one for Surath Ungol, a tribute CD to them, and it was by his name's Bert, and I forgot his last name, but he was kind of in charge of the previous Surath Ungol. He was putting mm-hmm. together this tribute, and my ex-wife was like, "Oh, you should charge him $300," and I was like, "I didn't care about the money; I just wanted to do it." And she was insistent, "You charge him $300, or you don't do it." And so I said, I guess $300. And the guy is like, oh, no, that's way too much. And kind of backed out of the whole thing. I'm like, oh, I was so angry at my ex. I was like, oh, man, you ruined a dream of mine because I just love Surath Ungol. I would have loved to have done a cover. But, things happen. At least now I have more opportunities. Like you said, if somebody listening out there wants a CD cover,
right.
I'd absolutely love to do one.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, because
I see a lot
of
people
bands.
Are using a lot of people are using the AI stuff now, the Midjourney. It's pretty cool, but you know, I don't know about the copyright stuff on there, and it's not quite artistic as, you know.
There's a lot of controversy online from artists, especially about it. What are your thoughts on that, the AI stuff now? Because I know that's
I think it's amazing. I love seeing it, but it's like something I don't think I would want to purchase because I know it's just randomized AI. You know, it takes a lot of art from famous artists, and it utilizes that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. In a way, it kind of steals it, I guess. You know,
yeah.
It's interesting, to say the least. I think it's cool, but when it takes away from mm-hmm. artists, you know, obviously nobody's going to like that. That's an artist.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's gotten pretty popular. I know a lot of authors
yeah.
even fool around with it just for fun, that post.
I definitely have. I have myself. It's get some
yeah.
interesting things, some really intriguing stuff. For me, I'm just curious what it's going to come up with. And that's about all the excitement I get from it. Then I'm done. I'm like, okay, that was cool. All right. On to the next.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always going to be something distinct about a creative individual, you know, what they're going to put into it as opposed
yeah.
to AI, you know, I think, but yeah, it is pretty interesting
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. There's some amazing artists out there. You know, I mean, I've gotten good and I'm not saying I'm like the best artist on the planet. No way. Not even close. I mean, some of these kids 10 years old can draw better than I have all my life. And I'm like, those kind of people make you like, oh man, why do I even do this? But you got to think, you know, I half think half these people are reincarnated from another life or something, you know, so they,
mm-hmm.
how are they that good? It's just impossible.
What do you, when you sketch and all, do you still physically sketch on a pad, or do you use a digital sketch?
Oh, no, I actually sketch on a pad, yeah. I don't like
so you scan.
Doing the sketch part
yeah.
digital. Yeah, I do the sketch on a pad and
then,
do all my shading
okay, gotcha.
If I need to, and then I'll go on and color it if I want to do a – I like doing the digital coloring because it really brings out some really great colors. But if it's for somebody
right.
that wants art in their, you know, like a framed art, then I'll take a different approach. I'll do a acrylic painting, or I'll use
mm-hmm.
Prismacolors, which are some of my favorite markers and pencils to use. I've got some amazing
yeah,
colors.
So you're primarily physical art over digital tablet approach is what I'm gathering.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for the most part.
Very cool. Nice, nice. And I know Holly loves hands-on type of art as well, so I know she appreciates that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I like doing a lot of paranormal art, too. I just love that. One of my favorite subjects.
Yes.
Yes. And
yes.
You...
I'm
yeah, when it comes to paranormal, I know Holly always perks up anytime that word comes up. but I'm guessing, yeah, you have an interest in that area as well, just judging by your artwork and so forth.
Yeah, I've had some interesting experiences myself, and you know, all that stuff just kind of motivates it and creativity as well.
Nice.
In a
Holly,
interesting things in my life.
I know you're perking
yeah,
up over there.
Me and him got so much in common. We've got a lot of common interests and common
yeah.
things that have happened, and our love of the paranormal and experiences, and yeah, it's really cool. But you do draw from those experiences, you know, and you can create because you have seen things and know things, and you know, it makes you more curious about the world around you, you
yeah.
know, and
definitely.
Yeah, I love the
so a
that
lot of people
art is always subjective, you know, it's all
yeah.
it's truly is in the eye of the beholder. Like you were saying, some 10-year-olds might be, well, to some people, you know, they might not like their art, but they
yeah,
think you're like the greatest thing next to Da Vinci, you know. It just, you know, seriously, it's all subjective, which makes it
it
even
is. It really is.
Longer.
I mean,
yeah.
You'll
yeah,
see cartoons
you
on the TV that are just the silliest art. It's like, oh, man, a baby could draw that. And, but they found some fanship somewhere that absolutely loves that stuff. It's, everybody's different in everything they like. I mean, someone will like a certain art, and then other arts will just be like, no, no thanks.
Right, right. Because a lot of people don't get abstract art, or they don't get,
yeah,
you know, Dolly. They didn't understand Dolly, or, you know, people look at that and say, what the hell is that, you know? But, yeah, it truly is in the eye of the beholder. That's definitely for sure. But that's what's so cool about doing, like, commission pieces, or even working with musicians doing, you know, CD covers or album covers, or working with authors doing cover art, is that you can help the creator envision, you know, bring it to life, bring their vision to life. That's what's
all
so
the,
cool.
All the information people provide for an art project is what really makes it go. I mean, if they give you a vague, they want, like, I commission a piece or something, and they give me a vague description, I can work with that, but the more info that they want to see into it, the more I have a vision to create, you know?
Right, right. You have something to draw off of. And that's just amazing, mm-hmm. because when a creator actually, you know, or you know, on the computer or whatever, they actually see it come to life. I mean, that is a unique feeling. I know Steve, you know, when he first seen, like, the Raiden sketches, people had sketched, and you know, it's unique. It's really cool that you can, you know, help them envision that. So that's really neat, mm-hmm. to be able to work with somebody and bring that to life for them.
Mm-hmm. I love it when you come from instantly. Sorry.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience, the feeling of an author when they get to see a visual, a good visual representation of a character. It's a feeling like no other. It's wild. I mean, it's like, if they're alive, it's awesome.
And I love it when everything
really
comes
excited.
Instantly, you know, when the mind just you see something and bam, it's there. That happens to me a lot. It didn't used to, but now it's just really coming together. Like all the stuff on my site right now, all those antler pieces, those didn't take me a long time. I mean, some of them take a few hours to make, but I mean, creative-wise, the process in coming up with the ideas were almost instant for everything on there. It's just when I look at certain pieces of antler, I look at certain pieces of wood and figure out what can go there and what I can do with this piece. And a lot of times it's just instant. And I love the fact that I'm not sitting here for 3 hours trying to think what I can do with these things, you know, that would really not be much of the creative process.
So Daniel, I know Daniel's been listening. By this point in the show, Daniel, I know that you see now that he's right up your alley in so many areas. I know you're seeing it now. So
I'm more of the easy listener, music and everything. I like, you know, soft listening, like Gore and, you know, Wendell Williams and stuff like that, but, you know.
Wendell Williams from Plasmatics?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it.
Great stuff. And Gore, which just played in concert here last week. I missed the concert because I wasn't thinking that it was coming that soon, and a buddy of mine sent me videos of it, and he had an extra ticket that he didn't even use.
Oh man.
Man.
I'm like, you realize that I had you download all the Gore albums for me to put on my computer. He goes, yeah, he goes, but didn't think of it at the time.
Truly, Graham will appreciate this blast in the past, but to truly experience Gore, you need to solve and beat the Super Nintendo video game of Beavis and Butthead. Because the whole quest of that game was to go see a Gwar concert.
I almost interviewed them for Mama's Fallen Angels. Big Robbo asked me, and then he had something else come up, but I was really close to interviewing him. Like I've never done an interview before, so I don't know how I'm going to do this. Especially with
Gwar.
That would be an interesting one.
But
I do plan
over
to get that
security
game.
At one of the concerts that they did in Nashville years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
when they had the girl singer with them and stuff too.
Yeah. Yep, I remember that. Oh God, that's good stuff. Oh man. We have a retro gaming set up in the house here, and I plan on getting that video game and beating it to get the Gwar concert one of these days for the Beavis and Butthead game. But, man, that's cool. That's cool. But, yeah, Daniel, I knew Graham, with his interest in the paranormal and lots of lore and mythology and all the, cool Dark Edge stuff. I figured, you're probably grooving.
Have you ever heard of the Wall of Faces that's down there somewhere in the jungle?
Wall of Faces? I don't
believe
I have.
Wall of Faces.
The Wall of Faces is a ancient stone wall that was carved that has, like, an oriental face, American, or European face, an African face, and then a couple of others that are like not human faces in it.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll have to check that out.
That is interesting.
And,
yeah, I'm going to be.
it had the like the Indians and all that stuff. It had all these different faces from around the world carved into this stone wall. And the wall is like, 2,000 or 3,000 years old.
All right. Now you got my curiosity.
I used to have a picture of it in a book that I had, and I can't find the book or anything. I don't remember the name of the book.
Hmm.
But I think it was Mew. It was the book of Mew, the other lost continent, that was supposedly had a battle with Atlantis.
Yeah, Atlantean lore. Yeah, all the speculation about that being a pre-Adamic civilization, like pre-Adam and Eve kind of world where Atlantis was and things like that. That's a neat stuff to deep dive into. Yeah,
I have an addiction.
Pumapunku is like the.
I have an addiction to buy in ancient coins, Roman, Greek coins. That's one of my other thing that I collect besides the figures.
Very cool.
Oh yeah.
I've got a
denarius
some
or two.
Egyptian and stuff, but where they were found out in the desert and stuff.
Nice.
Of Egypt, the coins from there, but I don't have a whole lot of that type of stuff.
I just find it fascinating holding something that's so historical in my hand that somebody, several thousand years ago held in their hand. It's just amazing.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, cool feeling.
Somebody bought fish on the near the Tiber River with that in the age of Augustus.
Yeah.
Fishmonger.
cool stuff. That's awesome.
It really
That's
is.
Awesome.
I mean, think about it because in America, because this country's so newer, we don't have, we have Native American artifacts, and there are, Viking artifacts here. Now they're finding an ancient. But when you go over to more of like, Africa, Egypt, where people like come from, it's just mind-boggling all the things that, have surfaced over the years and things that they have hid, like the good old Smithsonian whisk.
Holly, did you ever hear of John Edmonds with Stardust Ranch?
Yes.
Stardust Ranch.
Yes.
He had a ranch that's just, it's kind of like a smaller version of Skinwalker Ranch. He had a bunch of paranormal stuff going on there.
I know about it. I've watched the documentary
That guy was really interesting. He was a lot of people don't believe him. I mean, his stories are pretty wild. I mean, he claims to have killed aliens, chopped off their heads. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, whatever. Where's the bodies? Nobody knows, but I talked to the guy a few times.
he sounded pretty legit. He sounded like a really reasonable guy. And he was telling me, he actually found some Egyptian artifacts like in the Grand Canyon. I thought that was pretty intriguing.
Yes, that is very true. Cool. And the Stephen Quayle stuff, has also investigated that, where they found some definite Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon. Yep, that's absolutely true.
And
yes, that stuff
was
whisked away.
Was it during the Great Flood? Was it during, you know, how'd it get there? Yeah.
Yeah, Arizona's an incredible place. It's just the feeling when you go there is just incredible.
I just wrote a new novella that draws off that lore.
We get to the Four Corners.
You get to the Four Corners territory, and you get to some of those old ancient stuff about the ancestral Puebloans, because I guess a lot of those folks take offense at the word Anasazi, because it's actually a little bit of an insulting term to them, and that was coined by the Navajo. So I guess the correct term now is ancestral Puebloans. But when you dig into them and their cliff dwellings and the kind of pictographs that were left and what's in those pictographs, I mean, it's mind-blowing. I did some real deep dives on that and actually used it, some of that, for a new novella. But it's that area is just loaded with lore and tales of giants to portals to dog-headed creatures like the cynocephali of around Greece. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean,
it's where all my paranormal stuff started, right in Arizona.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah, I guess we have to make a trip, all of us.
I don't deny or debunk anybody until it's proven, because who am I to say they didn't really see that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, you know, and so that's what I said. I've got friends and people that I know that swear they see fairies, Well, I hope they do exist. I want to see one. I'm not going to say they're in fairy. They swear they see them. You know, I want to see them one day. But, I mean, it's things like that. You know, there's vampire lore all over the world. Mm-hmm. Same way with werewolves. Same way with, you know, shape-shifting. You know, all these different things. Well, how could it be if there wasn't some amount of truth in there?
Yeah.
Just the same way with extraterrestrials. How could it be that it spans the four corners of the world and not some truth to it? You know what I mean?
Definitely. I speak to a lot of these people on a daily basis on a lot of sites, and I don't get a lot of hokey people. I get a lot of everyday average people that aren't looking for attention. And I like a skeptical view. I mean, some skeptics they're just overly nasty. I mean, they don't believe it. They don't care to, and that's fine. That's their way. I mean, nobody's forcing anybody to believe in anything.
Right.
You know, it really takes an experience to happen to you to really get the gist of it or accept it. I mean, even with my experiences, I tried to say this didn't happen. No, this is why this happened. I would come up with stuff, reasons, and they were pretty good reasons, I thought. And then later on, you know, I totally found out those reasons were just excuses, because I found out the hard way that this the thing that happened to me was very, very real. It's pretty frightening.
Right.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's me. You
absolutely.
Know, things have happened to me all my life. And my parents always tried to tell me, oh, you're imagining, it's on your head, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, I know what I've experienced, and you know, you kind of try to just push it off, or you think, well, am I crazy, you know? But then as you get older, it's like, wait a minute,
yeah.
You know, you're looking at it from a rational mind. It's like, no, I'm not crazy. I'm really experiencing these things. So yeah, I know it sucks when people are right behind you, you know. And not being open-minded to any of that. But, yeah, my parents finally come along as they were older and, you know, more stuff got to happen. And after I had left, you know, I'm like, well, tried to tell you things. I heard things my whole life. But, yeah, and I warned Steve before I ever moved into this house we're in. I was like, mm-hmm. see, weird things are going to happen. You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. Yeah. And, you know, he learned.
He's like, I never would have even acknowledged these things before.
Uh-huh. No, he learned.
No, it was pretty amazing.
I mean, it's just fascinating. Yeah. But I would love to check out some of those sites, Griff. Send me some links. And yeah, I'd love to check out some of those chat rooms and everything. That'd be amazing. It's always great to talk about it with other people that are open-minded and other people that have similar experiences, because they know where you're coming from. They know what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
They know how it feels.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been open to lots of things. I've never been closed-minded to anything. But once you have your own personal experience, I mean, it just changes the whole ball game. I mean, once you've experienced something, seen something, heard something, you know, and had the real deal occur. I mean, it just changes the way you look at everything.
I actually really enjoy trying to help people that are having problems too. Sometimes I can help them. Sometimes their problems are just way too big. It's just
mm-hmm.
way out of my hands. But some of the stuff I can guide them and get them on a roll to, you know, where they're not in fear of every day. You know, some people deal with some really freaky stuff out there.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
Most definitely. And one day I'll have to share with you my own stories. I went through a really wild time myself after my mother had passed away and went through some pretty harrowing experiences myself. That was before Holly even. But, I'd love to tell you about that sometime. But it's we got about 2.5 minutes left. So, the time flies when you're having fun.
This
but
is awesome because I was like – I was afraid. I was like, I'm going to be so boring and these guys are just like –
No.
Oh. Get on with it, Graham.
No, you are the kind of guests we're tempted to keep on for 3 hours, but we're not going to do that to you tonight. Don't worry. But it's,
at least we're having fun here. I don't know about the viewers or the listeners. Is this guy done yet?
No. But again, folks, check out his website, and that's mediaandora.wixsite.com, and I'll spell that real quick. mediaandora.wixsite.com, and check out his site, because I mean it's a really awesome gallery that gives you a good overview of all the crazy stuff he does, and can't wait to see a Nephilim skull pop up there at some point. But,
and I will just state on the gallery, a lot of that stuff is available. And I could, if somebody's interested, just shoot me an email and I'll get you a quote or price on it. And we'll work from there. I mean, or if you want something brand new, some idea, some concept design made up, just let me know.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to you myself about some stuff, and I want to turn some bands and authors on to you as well for album cover and cover work.
Nice.
But really, congratulations on the new venture. But go ahead and give it a final statement. Anything that you'd like to say that you haven't said yet? And then Holly and Daniel, take us out because we've got about a little over a minute left.
I'm just happy that you guys had me on the show. Really happy. And my first podcast ever. And I'm a shy guy. I was like speaking to a bunch of people. It's usually not my thing. But I love this and appreciate you guys helping me out, sharing my art and getting me known a little bit. And I look forward to getting some art out there and having fun in the process, just making some really cool stuff.
All right. Thank you, Graham. And Holly,
thank you guys.
Take us out with you and Daniel.
All right. Join us next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another great show and guest. And check out Graham's art on his website, and you can also find him at Graham Ganson on Facebook. You can reach out to him there for commissions and such. But have a great weekend. Be creative, and I will pass it over to Daniel.
And tonight, Graham brought us a little bit of new artwork and everything that we can bring into our lives. If you're an artist
author, actor, it does not matter what your creative piece is. Make it new. Make it your own. And live a creative lifestyle. Until we have a chance to talk again, be creative and be yourself. This is Daniel Dark signing off.